conceivably think of somebody that would do. So I just leave by saying, God bless the American farmer. God bless America. Thank you. Thank you.
Michael Malice here with a fresh dose of Nightshade for you to hand out unused pens to. That was kind of amazing. Thanks to E-Rock for pointing out that clip that just is happening right as we record. President Trump is signing bills at rallies now. And then what usually happens when you have these bills, if they're actually bills that are of historical significance or not, I think now it's become de rigueur, is they'll have the bill, whatever, and they'll have a series of pens, and if it's Barack Obama, he'll write this for the B, and they'll take another thing, and he'll write the top bubble of the B, and takes another thing, and the bottom bubble of the B, and there'll be like 20 pens, and then everyone has a souvenir pen. This was the pen used to sign this bill. There must be a term for the bubbles in the letter B, but I don't know what they are, because English is my second language. Trump, being Trump, just took the one pen, signed the whole thing, and then he's got a bunch of pens to hand out, which have no value of use whatsoever. But that is kind of funny. Top story. This is really, really great news. Score one for the good guys. You know, people always tweet at me, how can you be optimistic? Things are so bad. And every day, something wonderful happens. So Democrats, who won control of Virginia's legislature on the promise of sweeping gun control, lost their battle over so-called assault-style weapons yesterday, handing Governor Ralph Northam, is he the Klansman or is he the chocolate face, a big defeat and gave a rare win to Second Amendment activists in a newly blue Capitol. A Virginia Senate committee killed a bill that would have banned the sale of assault-style weapons and possession of high-capacity magazines. What's fascinating, you'll see it in many of these states, that as soon as one party takes over from another, they put forth the bill that is the most off-putting to the other party. With Republicans, every so often happens that the first thing they do is abortion stuff. And with Democrats, like, oh, we got a chance. We're going for gun confiscation. You'll hear it all the time on Twitter. You'll see this with a straight face. No one's coming to take your guns. No one's coming to take your guns. These bills were coming to take your guns. These are bills being passed. This isn't some asshole on Tumblr. This isn't some jackass at Compound Rehab. These are bills almost being passed into law in Virginia, not Massachusetts, not Hawaii, real states. So this had been a top priority for Ralph Northam, who's a former Army doctor who served in Operation Desert Storm and offered remarks that he had seen firsthand what weapons of war do to human beings. The whole point of the Second Amendment was to have weapons of war in the hands of the citizenry, not for hunting. The bill was part of a package of 8 gun control measures Northam advanced after a shooter killed 12 people at a Virginia Beach municipal building on May 31st. Republicans' refusal to act on those bills last summer in a special session they gaveled out in 90 minutes. They ran out the clock. Good for them. Became a rallying cry for Democrats in November elections. They flipped the state house and Senate blue for the first time in a generation. Okay, November. Now it's February. Quick work, right? Almost. The House has passed all 8 of his bills, but a handful of Democrats in the less liberal Senate have quashed three of them amid facts that the newly empowered party might overplay its hand. The same tension has been playing out on other fronts, interesting choice of words, with the Senate taking a more cautious approach on issues such as the minimum wage, collective bargaining, and state budgeting. Four Democrats sided with Republicans on the Senate Judiciary Committee to reject the assault weapons bill for the year. On a 10-5 vote, the committee sent the measure to the state's Crime Commission for study. Yeah, well, let's do a study on it. Translation, let's flush it down the toilet. As originally introduced, the bill would have banned all possession of assault weapons, forcing owners to give them up. But the House Public Safety Committee modified it to prohibit only sales and transfers. Anyone who legally owned those guns before the law took effect would be allowed to keep them. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. You're allowing me to keep it in my Second Amendment. Oh, thank you so much. It's so nice of you guys. You aren't, you know, the enemy at all. You represent us. The measure took a harder line on magazines that hold more than 12 rounds and on bump stocks, banning their sale and possession. Bump stocks, which are attachments that make a gun fire more rapidly, are already subject to a federal ban. Senators did not debate the merits of the bill before voting. Now, since the election, more than 110 Virginia counties, cities, and towns have passed some sort of Second Amendment sanctuary resolution, many of them asserting that local officials will not enforce laws they consider unconstitutional. Yeah. They'll only enforce laws that are unconstitutional, that they consider unconstitutional versus Second Amendment. You know, asset forfeiture, oh yeah, just let's take it. It's fine. Activists staged a rally in January, drawing heavily armed militias from across the country. The House has approved the governor's seven other gun control bills, which would enact universal background checks on private gun sales, require an owner to report the loss or theft of a firearm within 24 hours, give local governments the authority to ban weapons from public buildings and at certain events, okay, create a red flag law, under which authorities can temporarily seize firearms for someone deemed a threat to himself or others, limit handgun purchases to one a month, a policy that was in effect in Virginia until 2012, tighten the law prohibiting access to firearms for someone subject to a protective order, and make it a felony to recklessly leave a firearm within reach of anyone 18 or younger, up from the current age of 14, which is a measure known as child access prevention. The Senate passed five of the governor's bills. So we'll be covering this in months to come, but here's how it's going to play out. Look, even in Virginia, rural Virginia, Thomas Jefferson State, Washington, even there, Democrats are putting our money where our mouth is, and people voted us in. They knowingly voted in a Democratic House and Senate on gun control, and we passed it and we delivered it. This is the model to follow for the rest of the country. Well, is it? Because you kind of blew up in your face. Things were trending today on Twitter. I had said 1 week ago today, that any minute now, the corporate press is going to use Trump, anti-Trump tactics on Bernie, that they're just going to completely do smear jobs on him left and right. And now, as a result of this, with his one of his spokespeople from his campaign, Bernie is by Soledad O'Brien from CNN and other agents of the cathedral is being explicitly compared to Trump. Bernie is basically Trump. This is where they are. Well, if Trump is Hitler, yeah, of course, yeah. Everyone I don't like is the same as everyone else I don't like. That's just math. Have you not taken math? Read a book. Watch this.
Release any more medical records. I have those three letters from the doctors that Senator Sanders was talking about. There's nothing in them other than the doctor saying that he's fit. He had a heart attack.
Yeah, well,
he had a heart attack in the fall. Do you think the American people deserve to know more about his health going forward?
Isn't that amazing? Does that sound like an honest question? Don't they deserve more? So what's been released is that three doctors or whatever, letters from his doctor are saying Bernie is fit health-wise to be president. And it is very fair to say, look, the guy just had a heart attack. How do you reconcile these things? But saying that they deserve, that you owe the American public, whatever, this is not a sincere question. This is the mark of an asshole, which these CNN people are. And his spokeswoman, of course, knows this perfectly well. Watch this.
I think that the American people deserve to know exactly as much as every other candidate has released in this race currently, and historically. And what you're seeing right now is really reminiscent of some of the kind of smear, kind of a skepticism campaigns that have been run against a lot of different candidates in the past, questioning where they're from, aspects of their lineage, et cetera, et cetera. And it's really telling, given that none of the same concern is being demonstrated for Michael Bloomberg, who's the same age as Bernie Sanders, who has suffered heart attacks in the past. And
So she was inaccurate. He did not have heart attacks in the past, Bloomberg. She got called out for this on Twitter. He had like stents put in his heart, whatever. Fine, but that's. I haven't finished watching this clip. I really hope she starts talking about Biden and the fact that he shits his pants on stage. Go ahead.
What we're seeing is smear campaign from the likes of Jennifer Rubin is one that's been beating this drum a lot. Republicans who, if they were honest with themselves, don't support Bernie Sanders for other reasons, largely for the same reasons that millions of working Americans do support Bernie, which is that he supports social programs that prioritize Main Street over Wall Street and is, yes, made a lot of enemies in the pharmaceutical industry and the health insurance industry and all of the interest groups whose interests are aligned against those of average Americans.
So how does she get compared to Trump? See if you can figure it out. If you can, I'll tell you right now. When she says, this is like being, asking questions about a candidate's lineage. Oh, it's birther. Bernie's a birther. It's all over Twitter. What she's saying is like, look, at a certain point, not everything has to be public. And I can understand why, given his age and that he did have a heart attack, he doesn't want to make. What if he has? Here's the other thing. Then people are like, well, if he's not making it public, I can see why. Could it be something like he had syphilis as a kid? I don't know. He's like 90 years old. Or polio. What if there's something in there that's embarrassing that he doesn't want to make public? That it's no one's business. It's his medical history. Oh, well, the American public deserves to know. At what point does the American public get to say shut up and make a decision based on what you do have? But, he's a birther. This is a Trump tactic. It's amazingly shameless what these people are doing. And it's only going to escalate. And it's really, really, really going to help Bernie. Because the more obvious it is that they're trying to take him down, the more he gets to say, look, I'm clearly making the establishment nervous. Look how they're acting. And with social media with the corporate press, calling them out on their bullshit, he gets to have a very good narrative. They're playing a very dangerous game with this man. Speaking of dangerous games, sometimes you root for the press, and very rarely, and this is one of those times, when there's actually a worse evil, and that's one of the few things that's a worse evil, and that's the Chinese government. And this is not even close. So China revoked the press credentials of 3 Wall Street Journal reporters who are based in Beijing. This is the first time since Mao that the Chinese government has expelled multiple journalists from one international news organization at the same time. There's so many little caveats in that sentence. I'm thinking they're trying to make it sound worse than it is. Let's check out the caveat. This is from the Wall Street Journal, by the way. So the first time since Mao, okay, that's clear. Multiple journalists, so they clearly have done individual journalists many times, from an international news organization. Okay, so they've done this with local news organizations at the same time. Okay, so they did it over a series of days. So this is not as crazy as it sounds, but this is the Wall Street Journal writing about itself. They want to, oh my God, the sky's falling. And frankly, if we are talking about China, they are not exactly a friend of the free press, of freedom of any kind whatsoever. So China's foreign ministry said the move today was punishment for a recent opinion piece published by the journal. Now, Deputy Bureau Chief Josh Chin and reporter Chow Dang, sounds Jewish. They're both U.S. nationals, as well as the reporter Philip Wen, who's an Australian national. Really? Chow's a girl? Oh, okay. I guess if Lois Lane can be a reporter. As well as reporter Philip Wen, who's an Australian national, have been ordered to leave the country within 5 days. This according to Jonathan Chang, who's the journal's China bureau chief. The expulsions by China's foreign ministry followed widespread public anger at the headline on February 3rd. It was an opinion piece which referred to China as, quote, the real sick man of Asia. Now, the ministry and state media outlets had repeatedly called attention to the headline in statements and posts on social media and had threatened unspecified consequences. According to the foreign ministry, regrettably, What the Wall Street Journal has done so far is nothing but parrying and dodging its responsibility. The Chinese people do not welcome those media that speak racially discriminatory language and maliciously slander and attack China. Raciously? What the? Realizing that China is in Asia, that's racist. The three journalists work for the journal's news organization. The Wall Street Journal operates with a strict separation between news and opinion. In a note to news staff, the editor-in-chief of the Wall Street Journal said the journal would push to reverse the expulsions and continue its work covering China's rise as a global force. Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, he weighed in. He criticized China's actions, saying the United States condemns China's expulsion of three Wall Street Journal foreign correspondents. Mature, responsible countries understand that he's calling them immature. You're a baby. Donald Trump's Secretary of State is calling them mature. Okay. Mature, responsible countries understand that a free press reports facts and expresses opinions. The correct response is to present counterarguments, not restrict speech. The U.S. hopes that the Chinese people will enjoy the same access to accurate information and freedom of speech that Americans enjoy. China is battling that super fast-spreading coronavirus, as well as questions from Chinese citizens and some global health experts about Beijing's handling of the epidemic, which has included a lockdown of much of one of the provinces with a population of nearly 60 million. Public anger at a perceived lack of transparency surrounding the coronavirus has exploded online, overwhelming the country's censorship apparatus. Now, the Committee to Protect Journalists called on China to restore the press credentials of the journal reporters immediately. And in August, the Chinese government didn't renew press credentials for Chun Han Huang, a Beijing whenever I read one of these names, I always think of that news that where they had that prank with the airplane. And it was like the people who crashed the plane was Sum Ting Wong. And I'm like, am I going to do that again? No. Who's a Beijing-based journalist correspondent who co-wrote a news article on a cousin of the Chinese president, Xi Jinping, whose activities were being criticized by Australian law enforcement and intelligence agencies. Mr. Xi's private life and those of his relatives are considered sensitive by Chinese authorities. The foreign ministry had cautioned the journal at the time against publishing the article, warning of unspecified consequences. He was the first China-based journal reporter to have his credentials denied since the newspaper opened a bureau in Beijing in 1980. And Beijing has taken a more combative stance with the foreign media in recent years, as the government has exerted greater control over information and reasserted the Communist Party's influence over citizens' lives. It declined to renew the credentials of several reporters, but China hasn't expelled a credentialed foreign correspondent since 1998. The phrase, sick man of China, that was kind of a little twist ending there. I thought I was going to say 1990. I did a little M. Night Shyamalan on you. The phrase sick man of Asia was used by both outsiders and Chinese intellectuals to refer to a weakened China's exploitation by European powers in Japan in the late 1800s and early 1900s, a period now described in Chinese history textbooks as the century of humiliation. The journal's use of the phrase in the headline on an opinion column that referred to the coronavirus sparked waves of commentary on Chinese social media. So, yeah, that's what's going on there. So more and more of these clips of Michael Bloomberg saying things that are politically incorrect that I think like average Republicans like and many independent voters would like, but are unspeakable in Democratic activist circles are making their way to the surface. Earlier tonight, before this airs, will have been the Democratic debate, which I'm sure will be quite interesting because a lot of people will be taking their shots at Mayor Bloomberg. Here's what he had to say. It's not even the things that he says. He says them in a very kind of Trumpy, and I this is a case where it's accurate to compare to Trump, very dismissive, kind of boorish way. So to have a point of view that people in the Democratic Party, the activists, don't agree with, but also to have this kind of almost vulgar way of talking about it really is not going to sit well with them. On the other hand, it might very well endear him to the more moderate Democratic voters and independents to be like, you know what, this guy talks like what we need to hear. We need to get the middle back because we can't have the possibility of another Trump presidency. So let's watch him talking about transgenders.
People would say, If your conversation during a presidential election is about some guy wearing a dress and whether he, she, or it can go to and go to the locker room with their daughter, that's not a winning formula for most people. They care about health care, they care about education, they care about safety and all of those kinds of things. And some of these social issues that, and it's not just the American government, the EU government does it as well, we're focusing on a lot of things that have little relevance to people who are trying to live in a world that is changing because of technology and communications and things like that. And so you can understand where somebody like Trump comes from. You can understand, if you take a look at the Democratic Party, they are so far left that 2 years ago there was nobody on their side that would take these positions, and today virtually all of the candidates for president of the Democratic Party have been so progressive. I don't know what progressive means, but they are in a place where some of the American public is, and remains to be seen whether a majority of the electorate is.
You think about it. We, the intelligentsia, people who could make it into this room, we believe in a lot of things in terms of equality and protecting individual rights that make no sense to the vast bulk of people. They're not opposed to you having some rights, but there's a fundamental disconnect between us believing the rights of the individual come first and the general belief around the world, I think it's fair to say, that the rights of society comes first. And so I don't know how many of you are familiar with the bathroom issue in the United States. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Whether you stand up to pee.
If you want to know, is somebody a good salesman? Give them the job of going to the Midwest and picking a town and selling to that town the concept that some man wearing a dress should be in a locker room with their daughter. If you can sell that, you can sell anything. I mean, they just look at you and they say, what on earth are you talking about? And you say, well, this person identifies his or her gender as different than what's on their birth certificate. And they say, what do you mean? You're either born this or you're born that. And, you know, I will say...
So, again, I don't think anything he's saying is remotely... I think it's probably exactly where the median American is. But when you are asking Democratic Party voters and Democratic Party activists and Democratic Party politicians to get in line and endorse this, you're going to have an uphill climb, in my view. Let's talk about another lefty who's, you know, signaling hard right, Emmanuel Macron, president of France. He has launched a campaign against political Islam and what he calls Islamist separation in some French cities. He's seeking to restore order in the suburbs and to elicit support from right-wing voters ahead of local elections in March, which I'll be covering on this show. In some of his most explicit comments, he said it was unacceptable for anyone to disobey the laws of the French Republic in the name of a religion or a foreign power. He said, "The Republic must keep its promises. We must fight against discrimination. We must put meritocracy everywhere." But, you know, I always say anything preceding but in a political claim can be ignored. But on the other side, we must fight against separation because when the Republic does not keep its promises, others try to replace it. Okay, that's fair. Macron announced measures to tighten controls on foreign financing of mosques, to end the nomination by Algeria, Morocco, and Turkey of 300 imams a year from France, and withdraw from this year permission for foreign governments to control language courses for 80,000 pupils learning Arabic, Turkish, and other languages from the countries of origin. It's a system he called an important vector of separatism, given that many of the teachers did not speak French or care about French culture. That is insane. How bad it is that him to the right of that is still far left. So you're having classes taught in France, taught by non-French people of not speaking French. This is complete. It's basically, I don't even know what the equivalent would be here. We don't have that here. Wow. Okay. So the imams, he said, were often linked to Salafism or the Muslim Brothers and preach against the Republic. He added, "We will throw imams in France, so we will train imams in France so they learn the language and the laws of the Republic." He spoke to residents in one district in eastern France on the first of a series of planned walkabouts. He made a point of not visiting a large new mosque in Mulhouse, a city with both a large immigrant population and, not coincidentally, many white supporters of the far right. The French president was speaking against the backdrop of growing concern in France about the influence of Islamist radicals on troubled communities where crime is high and many of the immigrants are of Northern African immigrant origin. Multiple terror attacks in recent years have added to those fears, and typical of such concern is a book published last month by the mayor, man who was mayor of Sarcelles, which is near Paris, for 20 years. Islamists also have a strong presence on social media, and this I did not know about, and this was very disturbing to learn. There's something called the Mila Affair, which was a teenage schoolgirl who casually criticized Muslim men and their religion on an Instagram exchange, and it went quickly she became the target of death threats and insults. And Abdallah Zekri of the French Council of the Muslim Faith prompted outrage when he suggested in a radio interview that the 16-year-old had it coming. He said, quote, "You reap what you sow." Meanwhile, the council's president, whose name is Mohammed Moussaï, later said Muslims should accept freedom of speech and criticism of Islam, even its principles and its foundations. Should I cover the next story? Okay, I'm going to cut a little bit more. So this visit, this non-visit to that mosque, is not the first time Macron, who was swept to power in 2017, has hardened his stance on social matters to court the conservative vote. In September, he outlined tougher immigration policies and said it was time to be extremely firm in applying asylum rules, given the surge in applications from foreigners taking advantage of France's longstanding reputation as the land of asylum. Yeah, as in crazy house. Am I right? Yes. Controlling immigration, courting Islamists, and tackling crime are the key, curbing Islamists, I thought that was weird, and tackling crime are the key policies of Marine Le Pen and her party, which has won the most votes in France in European elections in May and is considered the main political threat to Macron. As she put it, communalism and Islamic fundamentalism are on the rise in our country. 150 districts in France in the hands of Islamists. We can't let that happen. We have to act and act quickly, or else it's our survival, our civilization, and our peace that are at stake. I'm going to go on to the last story now. Chris Matthews, the man who very famously had a tingle going up his leg when he saw the crease in Obama's pants and was totally gay for him in a non-gay way, he's another one who can't wait to take on Bernie. And it's really funny because people often talk about what you need in politics, someone with big ideas, someone who's inspiring, someone who's going to draw people. And as soon as you have someone with big ideas often, but they become successful, then it's like, no, not those big ideas. Big ideas, we're still in charge. Watch him basically take the knife to Bernie's back.
Does it feel like that to you?
Yeah, and I hope that the candidates who have been telegraphing their punches against Sanders, Senator right Sanders, now. Are actually going to deliver them. I mean, I hope they actually do what they promised to do.
He's literally saying, I hope the candidates attack Bernie. First thing out of his mouth. Well, it's a minute. Yeah, this is a guy from MSNBC. I hope the candidates attack Bernie. Bernie. Go ahead.
Going to go after him about the bad behavior of Bernie's supporters or not? Amazing. Is this how they do things in Denmark? I mean, this is a preview of coming attractions, these people. He says he can't control them, but I think he's going to be called to account by the other candidates because they seem to have...
This is 1 second away from saying Bernie's supporters are deplorables. It's conceptually identical. He's saying that Bernie's support... So they can't pretend Bernie doesn't have support. Right? It's like, oh, no one's going to vote for you. Well, I won New Hampshire, so someone's voting for me. Maybe they're not going to vote in the general, but they're sure voting for me here. Well, sure, they'll vote for you, but the people who vote for you, yeah, thank you, as appropriate. The people who vote for you are bad people. It's the same thing with, oh, yeah, sure, you won, but everyone who voted for you is racist. Problem solved. So why were those racists voting for Obama? Oh, please, that was 4 years ago. Hello, the 80s called. They want the foreign policy back. Go ahead with this nonsense. Oof, what a wretch.
Hesitancy or a fear of going after his ideology, going after his self-declared socialism, or even about the doability of all the things he says he's going to do in a Congress that's split right now. Everybody knows half the U.S. Senate's run by Republicans. It'll be half run by Republicans next time. And it takes 60 votes to get any of this stuff through. And yet nobody just says the obvious. Bernie, you're full of it. None of this is going to get passed. You're going to be a miserable president, frustrated from the first day, because you're not going to get Medicare for all. You're not going to get free college tuition for public universities. You're not going to get halves of all student loans.
Yes, we can't. Wait, so it's really amazing because Bernie has a lot of ideas and a lot of plans. And it's very fair to say you're not going to get, I mean, all of them on their face sound implausible, right? But every plan that every candidate has, I mean, the stuff dealing with climate change, you're going to have half the Republicans controlling Senate. How are they going to do better? You're telling me Mitch McConnell is going to sit down with Klobuchar and be like, well, Amy, you know what? This gun stuff, yeah, I'm all for it. And yeah, why don't you pick the Supreme Court? I mean, it's going to be fine. Like, what is he talking about? Anyway, tonight was the debate. Saturday is the caucus in Nevada. Tomorrow, Gino Bisconti will be sitting in this chair as I begin my tour with We the Internet. I will be back here on Monday with lots to cover. I hope you have fun tomorrow. I love Gino so much. And everyone has a good time and host the show. I will see you guys on Monday. And until then, I wish you sweet dreams.
You must have a television.